Welcome to season 2 of the To Health With That podcast, where we break up big health topics into small bites. I'm Amy, and this season I'll share all the tips, tricks, and hacks you need to get healthy with an MTHFR mutation in a step-by-step, week-by-week process. I can't wait. This week, let's talk about what is really going on with MTHFR basic state. So basic state is something we've talked about before, but I want to dive a little deeper into why I feel it's important when other fantastic practitioners who specialize in MTHFR, like Dr. Ben Lynch, aren't really into it. And honestly, I think it comes down to a matter of which direction you're looking at the elephant from. There isn't really a right answer here. It's more about patient approach and clinical approach. Let me give you a little bit of the history. The idea of over and under methylators came originally from the research of Dr. Walsh of the Walsh Research Institute. The main thrust of his research was that mental and emotional disorders often stem from an imbalance or deficiency of nutrients specifically in the brain. I can get behind that sentiment. His research was not based on anything about genetics. It had nothing to do with the MTHFR polymorphism or any polymorphism in the histamine pathway. It was based on Dr. Walsh's clinical observations over years and years of working with a vast number of patients. The terms overmethylator and undermethylator were his own and based on what he theorized was happening. The names, in my opinion, are a bit misleading, because we don't actually know what's happening with the genetics or if the DNA is really overmethylated or undermethylated. Hopefully that research will happen eventually, but it certainly hasn't happened yet. I would prefer the term methylator not be in either of the names, but I didn't choose the names. I'm just working with them. So the reason I like using basic states as a guidepost is because it's an easy way, especially in the beginning of your MTHFR journey, to guess how you might respond to certain supplements and drugs for mental health. This can be hugely helpful because we all have a tendency to dive into the deep end with this. And believe me, taking a big dose of methylfolate if your body isn't ready for it can scare you off of taking any other methylfolate for a really long time. Also, since the basic state is based on observable personality traits, allergies, and measurable signs and symptoms, we're not looking at just one gene. We are looking at how the totality of your genes play out in real life. Because how they look on paper isn't always how they act, and how they act is what actually matters at the end of the day. Also, this is something that can be determined without any genetic testing, without any specialized help from practitioners, and without the need for any fancy interventions at all. That makes it extremely valuable because for every one person who thinks they have an MTHFR polymorphism who's working with a knowledgeable practitioner, there's another 100 who are doing this on their own. For that, basic state is invaluable. Also, I love the fact that it's based on what's called phenotype or genetic expression, not genotype or genes as they're written. What that means is elements like personality traits or high or low histamine represent the way all of your genes come together to express, which is by far more valuable information clinically than the actual gene polymorphisms themselves. There are so many genes involved in each pathway. And when you look at actual gene expression or phenotype, you're seeing the way all of those genes come together. You're seeing the bottom line, which is far more relevant than just the status of one gene or another. Also, all of your genes express or don't express, depending on a variety of factors like lifestyle, nutritional status, other health factors, even your mother's health status when you were in utero. It's far more complicated than just this or that gene. But looking at who you are as a person and how your personality expresses is a great way to sum up this information. Knowing your basic state can give you some well-informed starting places in terms of how you might respond to supplements, pharmaceutical drugs, and even the types of doses you might expect to be optimal. It isn't 100% accurate. Very few things are. But it gives you a better starting idea, right, for where you can start on this journey than you would otherwise have had. Still, always start low and go slow, but knowing your basic state can speed up the process of discovery. When you're trying to determine your own basic state, it's most helpful to think of them as flip sides of the same coin, with opposite traits on either side. Your basic state will come down to, essentially, how many traits you have from either side of the coin. For instance, the traits of overachievement and perfectionism show a subtle but important difference. Both under- and over-methylators express these traits, but under-methylators tend to be perfectionistic and overachieve in all areas, right? Across the board, if they do anything in school, in athletics, in real life, in their job, in their home, they do it to the best of their abilities and strive for perfection every time. Over-methylators are kind of the opposite. They're still perfectionists and they still strive, but they strive only at the things that really matter to them. So picture the artist in the shed, right, with a house that's insane, that's, you know, nothing works, failed out of school, but makes the most beautiful art and spends their time making that art because that is the thing they consider important. So it's a very different style of perfectionism, where one side is perfectionistic everywhere and the other side hyper-focuses on the areas that are important to them. There's a very important difference in allergic responses as well. So high histamine type allergies and sensitivities, like classic hay fever, right, where you open a window and the pollen instantly makes your eyes stream and starts the sneezing, is typical of an undermethylator. Overmethylators, on the other hand, show a more chronic kind of lower histamine picture, right? Low-grade headache, neck tension, or the entire season with a blocked nose that doesn't particularly change whether they're indoors or out, whether the window's open or not. That's more of a low histamine sensitivity pattern. Also, overmethylators tend more towards chemical and food sensitivities, where undermethylators tend more towards histamine intolerance in foods, but not necessarily an intolerance to the foods themselves. To sum up an undermethylator, achievement and drive are high for everything. They typically follow rules and social norms. They push for achievement in everything they do. Their allergies are high histamine pattern with that hay fever presentation. They're often intolerant to the histamine in foods, but less often to foods themselves. And they're more likely to have high fluidity. So in saliva, in tears, in mucous membranes, there tends to be just more liquid. Overmethylators have high achievement for the things that matter to them, but not necessarily for other things. They follow the rules that make sense to them, but disregard the others. They tend to be known as people who follow the beat of their own drum. They push for achievement in the things that matter to them, but they're not particularly interested in achieving in other things, even if those other things are the socially valued things. They tend to have low or normal histamine with chronic allergies or sensitivities. Food reactions are often sensitivities to specific foods and chemicals. And fluidity, they tend to have lower fluidity, so less saliva, less tears, drier mucous membranes. At the end of the day, trying to decipher the big picture by looking at each particular gene SNP can lead to a really messy situation in which you can end up taking supplements that look good on paper but aren't actually addressing the issues you have in real life. This is far less likely to happen if you're working with a good practitioner, but sadly, I've seen some practitioners fall victim to this mentality as well. Even worse, you can end up taking one supplement for each gene SNP and getting completely overwhelmed by a cumbersome protocol that costs a lot of money and a lot of time, but doesn't actually get you anywhere. Thank you so much for listening today, and if you haven't done so already, check out the show notes at tohealthwiththat.com. There's resources, downloads, links to research, and best of all, an email list where you can sign up to be sure you're the first to hear about exciting new courses, free resources, and other great tools. See you next week.